Remember from yesterday we just started the sugya on the Dalip. The Gemara is talking about a situation where a person has a sukkah that's above 20 amos and they want to be machshir that sukkah. So one of the ways of doing it is to raise up the floor level. The only problem is, the Gemara says, is that it has to be realistic. It has to be an authentic raising the floor level. You can't just throw a couple of cushions down there and call it a day. So it has to be something that's really significant. And the only the type of method that you have to use has to be something that meets the criteria called bittul. You have to be mevata, whatever you're throwing on the floor to raise the level of the floor, has to be a nisbatul sham. So it's a machlekes avishayim as to what standards we use in terms of bittul, just in terms of how long, quantitatively, how long must bittul take place in order for it to be nisbatul. So Rashi on the spot said you don't need bittul forever and ever and ever. You just need bittul for the week of Sukkis. You just need bittul as long as the shayla is relevant, all right, to the end of the yontif. And according to Rabbi Chanan, no, you need bittul le'olam. I think sure bittul le'olam is not going to qualify as bittul. So we said that this machlekes Rashi Rabbi Chanan, l'chora should repeat itself in other cases where we also have concepts of, in a sense, changing the topography, changing the ground level, change place, and we should probably meet into the machlekes Rashi Rabbi Chanan in those cases as well. So we highlighted two different Gemaras that don't seem to match up according to all the Rishonim. One was the Gemara in Eivri, one was the Gemara in Bebasra. So just to chaza for a second. So the Gemara in Eivri was talking about if you have two chatzeris that are adjacent to one another, and we're trying to figure out whether they're one chatzah or whether they're two chatzeris. So the question was, well, is there a mechitza between them? So the answer is, well, there is a mechitza. There was a charitz, there was a ditch of 10 tefachim deep between the two. So that charitz should separate halachli between the two chateris. So then the Gemara says, well, maybe if you fill in the dirt, maybe fill in the gap of the ditch, so that's mevatel the ditch. The Gemara says, aha, yeah, that's true. So one has to be used. What criteria do we use to fill in the gap of the ditch? So the Gemara says, as long as it's davar she'ein nitl b'Shabbos, as long as it's davar mukhtz, it's not removed on Shabbos, that's good enough. So that Gemara caught our attention. That Gemara says, hey, wait a second. All you have to do is be mevatel it for a short amount of time, as long as the Shabbos is irrelevant. I don't care about what it looks like on Tuesday. I'm not carrying Tuesday. I don't need a head to carry on Tuesday. It's what the carry on Tuesday is Tuesday. So the only time the issue of one chutz or two chatzeres is relevant is on Shabbos. So the Gemara says as long as you mevatel the dirt, you mevatel the ground level, as long as you change the ground level for Shabbos, that's good enough. Then the Gemara has a similar idea in Baba Basra. The Gemara is not talking about ground level, it's talking about closing up holes for Pesach Tefach with Tumas Meis. The Gemara says the same pismen, that as long as the davar that you put in here is batel, so that's going to change the halacha, that's going to be a davar chaytis b'fnei atuma. So one of the bizarre cases the Gemara gave for a davar being batel is that baby that's in limbo between not a chay and not a meis, is a ben ches. So the Gemara says that's going to be the case, that's going to be a davar chaytis b'fnei atuma, which the Gemara says, why? The mother's going to come and move the baby. He says, no, she's not moving the baby anywhere because the baby's mukts on Shabbos. So therefore, the baby's not going to be moved for X amount of time. So the question is obvious, but the baby's going to be moved after Shabbos. So you see that, that doesn't matter. But as long as the tomb is only there for the next few hours anyway, so the only time that the issue is relevant, Kozman, the issue is relevant, the davar is going to be in his bat. So that's good enough. So we have two Gemaras. We left off the Shindrish yesterday. Two Gemaras. One Eivri, the Gemara in Baba Basra, that seemed to point in a direction like Rashi against Rabbein Chanan. So how would Rabbein Chanan respond to these two Gemaras? So what do you do with the Gemara in Eirvin? What do you do with the Gemara in Baba Basra? Both these Gemara sound like all you need is Bittul L'Shah. How would Rabbein Chanan, let me show you, subscribe to Rabbein Chanan, address these two Gemaras? So the Ritva in our sugya quotes the name of his Rebbe, the name of the Ra'ah, Baron Halevi, the Ra'ah for many, many years, was supposed author of the Sefer Achinuch. And then they realized afterwards it probably wasn't the one who wrote it. It was written around this time, but it probably wasn't him per se. So whether he wrote the Sefer Achinuch or not doesn't matter. He still was a great, great Rishon. He was the Rebbe of the Ritva. So the Ritva quotes the name of his Rebbe the following suggested text. The Ra'ah said that, in Achinami, that you really require Bittul Yoyim. That's really, really the halacha. Why do you require Bittul Yoyim? What's the Svara? You have to have Bittul Yoyim. So the Ra'ah says, because if you don't have Bittul Yoyim, then you're never going to have Bittul altogether, because, quite frankly, someone's probably going to come and take it. If you put it out, then you mevatel it, and your mama set it up in a way that you really don't care about it, Yoyim Vo'ed. So then the odds are you're probably not going to take it. But if you just put it there for a couple of hours, a couple of days, then you probably going to end up taking it. So comes the Ra'ah, and it basically it says, that on a level of their rice, me'ika mikra din, what is the definition of bitl? Who's really right? Mikra din? Rashi's right. Rashi's emes are right. I said, how come in Rabbein Chananel, how come in Sukkot Abdalat, how come the Ra'ah and the Ridva are all saying, no, halacha l'mais, you require bitl li'aylam? It's a concern with Rabban. It's a chashash with Rabban that if we don't insist on bitl li'aylam, you probably won't even have a bitl l'shah anyway, which is all that you really need in Hatzor. But, says the Ra'ah, what if I have a bitl l'shah? I know for a fact I'm not going to be mevat on my bitl. How do I know that? Because there's a halachic problem. There's going to be a halachic issue. There's going to be a violation of Chol Shabbos if I go ahead and I'm involved on my bittul. So says the Ra'ah, that's going to serve as enough of a deterrent to prevent me from being involved on my bittul. Therefore, Zok the Ra'ah, b'chiyah gavna, even a bittul l'shah is going to suffice. Because between you and me, says the Ra'ah, a bittul l'shah is good enough min ha-Torah all along anyway. One of the two examples, when there's a halachic obstacle, there's a halachic impediment, there's a chil shabbos staring me in the face, the two sugyas in Maseches Erevin and the sugyas in Maseches Bavad Basra. In Maseches Erevin, what did the Gemara say? The Gemara said, you have something that's ain't on nitl b'shabbos, that means nobody, again, the sugyas only talking to Torah observant people, no Torah observant Jew is ever going to move muktzah. So he's not going to violate the chil shabbos. So the concern of shemi avatlas bitulo doesn't exist. So therefore we fall back on the din derais that bitul l'shah is good enough. And who did Nami and Bava Bahasra? We're dealing with the Tinoch ben Ches, who's a Davash al-Muktas, Tinoch ke'evin, Rashi said. So there's no way in the world anyone's going to move that baby on Shabbos. Since no one's going to be nechsh, no one's going to be chosha to move that baby on Shabbos, it turns out that Bechia Gavna, we are willing to concede, says the Ben Chananel Ra'ah Ritva camp, we are willing to concede to Rashi under those very unique circumstances, even a bitul l'shah going to suffice. That's how the Ra'ah gets out of these two Gemaras. That these two Gemaras are different, says the Ra'ah, because since there's an Isser, there's a Chol Shabbos issue involved, that's going to serve as a proper deterrent. So again, this is all assuming that the whole reason to require bitul yoylam is only a Chumah Midrabanan. So which Rishonim don't seem to buy into this? Which Rishonim seem to be big, real, true believers of Bitl Yoylem as being an absolute Chayfel Yavor? Taisus, a little tiny Taisim Bebe Basra. So Taisim Bebe Basra are also sensitive to this issue. What happened to the leaving the baby there? The baby there is not going to remain there forever and ever and ever. So Taisus writes in the 8th of the Ramakoymus, Ashe Ima Vedaya Lebishabis, for Ire Begoyseis, She Yomus Kodim Sheetzi Ashabis, the Amma Disham Teikfurasai. What? Taisus, right? Taisus adds an ukimta to the case. The Gemara said of Abba Basra, we're trying to fill up this hole with the baby. We're trying to make the baby buckle to the hole to solve the problem, to overcome the issue of Pesach Tefach. So the Gemara says, just put the baby there and Shalom al Yisrael. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? That the baby is going to be moved by the mother. And for the Gemara, it's Shabbos. It says, Taisus, there's more to the story than meets the eye. Being Shabbos is not enough, says Taisus. Because being Shabbos only ensures that the baby's not going to be moved for the next few hours, but that doesn't solve the problem. Because Taisus is learning that you require bitul yoylam. So says Taisus, another piece of information, that this baby is going to mamish die in the next couple of hours, and that baby's going to have to be buried, and it's going to be buried right then and there in that spot, and therefore this baby's going nowhere, and therefore this baby is bitul yoylam void, and therefore the baby breaks up the Pesach Tefach. That's the ukimta that Taisus adds. Well, that's quite an ukimta. You know, if one of you guys would have given that teretz, I would have said, come on, the Gemara doesn't say when the baby's going to die. How do you know they're going to bury the baby here? Maybe they're going to bury the baby somewhere else. How do you know there's even a mitzvah kvura on a nefel, machlik yisav yishayinim? So there are so many assumptions that Taisus made, so many ukimtas and so many textual issues and conceptual issues, but you see that the Balei Taisus are struggling. You see that they are so concerned with this problem. What happened to the din of bitul yoylam that they had to come up with a creative ukimta because they were so concerned with this bitul yoylam? It is clear from Taisus that they did not go down the root of the Ra'ah. If they would have gone down the root of the Ra'ah, that bitul yoylam is only required by the Rabbanan, and therefore when the reason doesn't apply, the din doesn't apply, then they could have simply answered like the Ra'ah. And the fact that Taisus bent over backwards to give you an ukimta that we don't really understand exactly, Zetman Pandos, he said this Taisus clear as day, that they held that Bittul Yoelim is an absolute chayk for the Yavar. If it's true that Tosfos held that Bittul Yoelim is an absolute chayk for the Yavar, then we're in for another problem. So we solved the Baba Basra phenomenon by making the baby die in that spot. What do we do about the Erev and Sugya? What do we do about the Tuchatseiris and Erev? In the Gemara says Beferish, if it's a Dovish and a Lubashabbos, that's going to break up the shear of the ditch. So we have to throw our hands up, like the Tumas Hadeshin already did. Tumas Hadeshin says, how in the world would Taisus, it was a late Rishon, how in the world would the Balei Taisus learn the Gemara in Mesechus Erevin? We don't know, there is no Taisus about it. Tumas Hadeshin says, of course I have to say that whole Sugya in Erevin is only a Sugya on the love of the Rabbanim. The whole issue of Erev Chatzeris is only mid the Rabbanim, because Minat Torah, you're allowed to carry from one Chatzer to another Chatzer, yet the whole thing is the Rabbanim, the whole thing is the Tekanah Shlema Melech. So comes into the tradition and says, those who learn Masechus Erevin know, there are many, many kulas in Erevin that we have that don't necessarily pattern Kol HaTorah Kula, because Erevin, first and foremost, is only with the Rabbanim. So comes the Tumas Hadeshin and throws his hands up and says, probably Tosfos is going to have to concede that for the Gabi, the Dinim, the Rabbanim of Erevin, the Kodesh Lama Melech, the standards of Bittul are significantly lowered. And therefore, even Tosfos is going to have to agree that the standards of Bittul of Rashi are going to suffice. And that's why the Gemara in Erevin was willing to let you get away with such a shvach bittul, a bittul which is only bittulish. But if and when you need bittul on the love of the Araisa, for example, we have a few areas of halacha where bittul is needed min haTorah. For example, where? Sukkot Avdalit. Where else? Barbasut, Futas. Whenever bittul is needed min haTorah, then the standards of bittul have to be on par with a bittul liyoylam, even on love of the Araisa. So when all this sugya ends, so we basically have three Gemaras that are bearing down on our discussion. We have Moshe and Erev, Moshe and Baba Basra, the Gemara in Sukkah, and we're really having three different approaches in the Rishonim, what the standard, what the definition of Bittul means. So we have, Rashi is the biggest makel. Rashi says that Bittul only means Lashah, as long as it's relevant Lahalacha. Rashi says it in Masechus Sukkah explicitly, three times, and the Rashi Shita is borne out by the simple reading of the Gemara in Baba Basra and the simple reading of the Gemara in Masechus Erevin. So Rashi says, Bittul always means Lashon. That's it. Both Min HaTorah and Min HaRabbanan, nothing to discuss. The Ra'ah is the middle ground. He says that Bittul means Lashon Min HaRaisa. That is the definition of Bittul Min HaTorah. But La'olam Min HaRabbanan, and the reason for the Takan is very simple. Because otherwise, if you don't insist on La'olam, then you're going to end up undermining the entire Bittul. But the significance of the Ra'ah is that sometimes Afilu Min HaRabbanan, you don't need it, i.e., if there's some kind of an obstacle, Chilul Shabbos. Then you have Tosfos and Rabbi Bahasa, which is the third extreme view on the other end of the spectrum. It says that you always and always and always require Bittul Liyolam, and therefore Baba Basra was Bittul Liyolam, and Sukkah was Bittul Liyolam. And the one quirk of a case you get away with Bittul Lashah, Bidinim Derabanan, such as Erevin, so maybe we can let you get away with a simple thing called Bittul Lashah. So this is pretty much how the Sugya works out according to the three opinions in the Mishnah. Maybe it's possible. It's possible.
The Erev is different than the Haaretz, so no one's going to take, like, if they put, like, Achar and Haaretz, no one's going to take Achar out of Haaretz or whatever it is, because it's, like, all dirty. I don't know how old Haaretz is. It's a window, I understand. You're taking a baby out of a window, or you're going to take a...
If you're going to ask me, what are the odds I take a baby out of a window or dirt out of a Haaretz, I have no idea how to make that statement.
Because the Haaretz is dirt already, so...
I don't know. Kids like to play, they'll do anything.
Doesn't the Ram only pass him like Rav Yossi when it comes to Afar, but he passes?
I don't know. Okay, everybody say, so there's one last Gemara that still has to be analyzed in light of these three different opinions of Rishonim. That's a very, very famous Gemara, Gemara Masechus Megillah. Most people never learned any of the sugyas about Masech Tefach, learned the Gemara Megillah first, so when they were in the 7th grade, so now they know the sugyas. So we'll try to attempt to understand this Gemara. Gemara Masechus Megillah, Daf Chavav. The Gemara tells a fascinating story where there was once a mace in like this room adjacent to the shul, and there was a big problem. They couldn't get the mace out. Apparently it was Shabbos. They couldn't get the mace out. So they wanted to block off the hole of the connection between the shul and the next door room. They wanted to remove the Pesach Tefach. So what did they do? So they tried to look for a good fat kli to be mevatel. Remember we learned yesterday that you can't use anything just to break up the Pesach Tefach. The first and foremost, besides being a davar abotel, it has to be something which is what? Something which is Right? That's a key component. That's what we said, which is Enema Kabbal Tumah. So they're scrounging around, you know, they're asking for the, you know, custodians of the shul to come around. We need something big, we need something that's gonna stay there, and we need something that's not Makabal Tumah. So they're searching and searching and searching. So one of the janitors comes up with a great idea. What was the great idea? Take the Aron Kodesh. What do we need that for? So let's roll the Aron Kodesh and move the Aron Kodesh and use the Aron Kodesh to stuff up the hole. Stuff up the break between the two rooms. That was the suggestion. So the Gemara has a whole discussion. Is that going to work? Is it not going to work? What's the Shaila? Is an Aron Kodesh Bekabal Tumah not? Aron Kodesh Bekabal Tumah? Why should it should not be Bekabal Tumah? So what's the general rule? So usually an Aron Kodesh is made out of wood. The days of Chazal was always made out of wood. So a Kli Eitz. Is a Kli Eitz yes Bekabal Tumah or not Bekabal Tumah? What's the answer? Depends on what? Depends what has the base kibbutz or not. So if it's pshut the Kli Eitz, if it's just like a flat plate or something, a flat knife or something made out of wood, that's not Makabal Tumah. If it has a base kibbutz to it, then it is Makabal Tumah. Somebody sent me a text 2 days ago. They wanted to know if the schach is starting to crack a little bit, so can you still put it away? Can you still use it next year for schach? Or is that a problem? So I imagine why they were concerned with is because somebody probably told them, once the schach has a hole in it, then it's Makabal water and has a base kibbutz, and therefore it's possible for schach. That's what I think they told them. That's what they were concerned with. So the answer is that's not correct. Why is that not correct? Because the din is that a base kibbutz is only called a base kibbutz when you want it to be a base kibbutz. If you're not interested in it being a base kibbutz, then it's always base kibbutz. That's a klal golem luchas tumah v'tahara, that only a base kibbutz hanas midas. That means I want it to be there. That's called the base kibbutz. It just happens on its own. It happens to physically be makabel, but nobody is. If a guy would decide, I'm going to use my bamboo and fill it up with water and drink from it, so that would be a base kibbutz. Then the schach would be makabel too, but we post them in a third. But most people don't do that. Most people have little breaks, little scratches here and there in the schach. So the fact that it could technically flow up with a little bit of water, like a taka does sometimes. Right? Sometimes you're singing the sukkah and all of a sudden you see some of the water dripping out of the cracks in the schach. So that's not going to be a base kibbutz. That's nothing to worry about. That's in Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, that's for sure the case. In Hilchos Mikvos, there's a big machlokes of Rishonim about that. About there's a din, there's a parallel din of Hilchos Mikvos. We build a mikvah, so Mayim Sheuvin disqualifies a mikvah. So let's say if I have water in this bottle, so I can't use this water now for a mikvah. If I have water in this cup, I can't use the water for a mikvah. It's called Mayim Sheuvin. This is machlekes of Rishonim, whether that's a din derais, a din derabanan, how much, as the details. But the Mishnah is a beferish and maseches mikvos. You can't use mayim shuvin for a mikvah. So there's a machlekes of Rishonim. What if I have a type of a kli that I didn't really want it to become a base kibbutz? It kind of became a kibbutz by itself, and I'm not particularly excited about it being a base kibbutz. But now the mashke fills up with water. Is that water considered to be mayim shuvin manat? That's a big machlekes of Rishonim. So Rub the Rishonim held that that's nothing. That's zero. That's nothing. And there's one minority view in the Rishonim that said, no, that that is a problem. Why should that be a problem? In Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, it's not a problem. So the answer is that the dinim of Sheuvim are not identical to the dinim of Tumah V'Tahara. Proof positive, the Mishnah says that let's say you have klei avonim, you have stone vessels that are filled up with water, so that water becomes mayim Sheuvim. Stone vessels are not makabel Tumah. Let's say this water, the water in the plastic. Plastic is not makabel Tumah. Styrofoam is not makabel Tumah. But this water would be pasul mikra din for mikvahs because the din of a base kibbutz for mikvahs and the din of a base kibbutz for Tumah V'Tahara are not necessarily the same. So as Machlekes Rishonim, are they the same vis-a-vis this prat that you require a kavanas kibbutz? So when we build a mikvah, we try to make a mikvah that's kosher going to every single sheet as much as we can under the sun. So we have a lot of chumras in Hilchos Mikvahs. So one of the chumras that we have, which is not mikra din, is that we try, when we build a mikvah, there shouldn't be any water, any base kibbutz, any whatsoever. Even a base kibbutz that the guy mamish couldn't kill, I don't even know it exists. Any water, any base kibbutz could be a potential problem. I remember when we were building the mikvah, and I was a rav in Paramus, so we were building a mikvah there. So we had a fellow, chassidish fellow, who was a poisek for the mikvah. So when we went up to the roof before we were ready to collect the water to fill up the buries of the mikvah, so he wanted me to come up with him on the roof to examine the pipes. Now, he didn't need my examining, but he wanted to show me how to examine the pipes on the top, the whole system, the whole gutters and the system of the roof to make sure that they're kosher for mikvahs. So you have to be careful whenever you have any water that collects in the base kibbutz. It's a problem. So how can you ever have anything go in a pipe? The answer? How can you ever have water go through pipes? The answer is not a base kibbutz. The Mishnah says it's not a base kibbutz. Why is it not a base kibbutz? because it's open on both sides. Water can't collect inside a pipe. It travels through a pipe, it doesn't collect through a pipe. So any item that's used to transport water from the sky into the virus has to be made in such a way that there's no kibble whatsoever. So it goes through pipes that open on both ends. It goes through gutters that are open on both ends. So everything is open on both ends to avoid any issues of a base kibble. So there's a Maharik that discusses what's the din if you have, let's say, pipes, you have gutters on the roof, and you're trying to fill up water for your mikvah, and there are cracks in those pipes, there are cracks in those gutters. So that becomes subject to this machlokes. I didn't really want the cracks to be there. I'm not interested in the water collecting inside the cracks, but lemaisa, the water is now collecting, so the water is getting stuck inside the cracks of the gutters. So there were some Rishonim who said that mikvah is no good. So the Mordechai quotes such an opinion that the whole mikvah is no good because once there's any crack in the gutters, and then all the water is going through the cracks, everything is ma'am shuvah. And the Ma'arik says he never heard of such a thing. So when we build the mikvah, mi'ikra din, we hold that it's not a problem, but we try to avoid the cracks. So the minig is when you build the mikvah, so you want to make sure that everything is as smooth as anything, there are no cracks whatsoever. In the olden days, they used to use wooden gutters or wooden pipes, so they used to crack, they used to corrode much easier. Today we use plastic, so it's much less of a problem. So it climbs up on the roof of the mikvah. I'm holding on for dear life, and me and this fellow with his long coat and his Swedish hat, and me in my short sleeves, summer day, and he made me run my hands through the just to make sure that there's nothing, no cracks, there's nothing, everything. So then he stops. And I see he's touching something on the top. And he says, "We have a problem." I said, "What's the problem?" I'll never forget. I'm still holding on to him for dear life. He says, "We have a bais kibble," he said. "A bais kibble. What's the bais kibble?" I said, "Where's the bais kibble?" He says, "The gutters were screwed in." You have to connect them to the structure. They're screwed in. So when you have a screw on the top of the head of the screw, with your screwdriver, has a little bit of a base kibble. It's very, very small, but if you have a bunch of screws and a lot of water, eventually all the water will go through, a lot of the water is going to go past those screw heads, and eventually you're going to end up with potential amount of water that could possibly, in a long shot, disqualify your mikvah. Now, nobody in the world is thinking about filling up the tops of screw heads with their water, so according to Rubin the Rishonim, I couldn't care less that there's a bais kibble up there. I just want to make sure I don't fall off the top of the mikvah. But he was very concerned, rightfully so, because when we build a mikvah, we want even the Mordechai to be happy with it. Even the Rishonim, the Mordechai quotes, who were concerned with the bais kibble, even not Nasa Lekabos kibble, the Ladas kibble. So we have to fix the top of the screw heads. So he says to me, "No problem." Now I knew that he came prepared. He knew there were tops of the screw heads there. He just wanted to teach me about it. So he yanks out of the side of his Bekesha pocket. He yanks out silly putty. And he sticks slobs of silly putty in every single screw head to make sure there's no more bias kibble. So that's the Mikram Paramus. It's full of silly putty and free of any bias kibbles. Okay, anyway, came back to this story. So that's the Gabi Mikvah. So the Gabi Tumu Vitara, so then you don't have to do that. Tumu Vitara, you don't need silly putty. Tumu Vitara is not Nasa. Like, and Nucham, you put silly putty on your schach. You don't have to do that. Because for base kibble purposes, for Tumu Vitara, you require a Kabbalah's, a Kavanah's a kibble. Fine. So what criteria are necessary? Back to the Aron Kodesh, to the custodians, trying to figure out how to solve the dilemma in shul back in the days of Rava. So we're trying to find a kli that's not Mekabel Tumah. So our initial reaction is, let's take a wooden kli. The only problem is, if it's a base kibble, that's going to be a problem. It's a Mekabel Tumah. And Aron Kodesh is a disaster. That's the worst thing you want to take. A base kibble. What's it Mekabel? Safe turn. It's a receptacle. It's like a bowl. So it's a box. So that would be no good. So you can't just take a wooden kli. You can't take a bigger Aron Kodesh and stuff up the hole. That would not be acceptable. Unless there's some other reason why you think that the Aron Kodesh is not Mekabel Tumah. What other reason would you think the Aron Kodesh is not Mekabel Tumah? So there happens to be a quirk of a din. Hilchos Tumas Kliyetz. It doesn't apply to other kelim, but in Hilchos Tumas Kliyetz, there's a quirk of a din that if it's something which is very, very big, that's generally not moved around, so then it's not Mekabel Tumah. Even though once in a million years you could move it around, but Lamaisa, it's not generally moved around. It's basically to be stationary. So the Gemara says, learns that from Sukkim, that's not Mekabel Tumah. Why? Because the Torah compares the Kliyetz to a sock. Sock is what I'm saying, like a band. So Kliyetz a sock. So just as a sock is Dover Metalta Molivarekum, things that are normally moved around, so to Kliyetz, only if it's normally moved around. Such a big, klutzy, cumbersome Kliyetz, no one would ever move it, so it's not Mekabel Tumah. So the Gemara has a discussion that maybe the Aron Kodesh is going to serve the purpose of being matzik b'fnei Tumah, because who walks about moving Aron Kodeshes around? So comes the Gemara and says, nope, sorry, but people do move Aron Kodeshes around. Sometimes they all moved around, and therefore it would also be a davar ha-mekabel Tumah, it's not chaytis b'fnei Tumah. So the Gemara has a whole pilpul back and forth about moving this Aron Kodesh, can we or can we not? At the end of the day, you can't use the Aron Kodesh because of the quirk of Hilchos Tumah, called a davar makabel of it's not pshut l'kliyot, and it's not something which is any matatim of arekim, and therefore it's going to be a problem. So on the spot, the rishen mabada with the kasha, Rishon said, wait a second. If not for that technical quirk at the end of the sugya, so the Aron Kodesh would have worked. The Aron Kodesh would have done the trick. How would the Aron Kodesh have done the trick? How is the Aron Kodesh going to solve the world's problems? How long is that Aron Kodesh going to be there? It's going to be there forever. They're never going to lane anymore. They're always going to lane from the back of the shul with the mason. They're never going to move the Aron Kodesh back to its right place. The Aron Kodesh is only going to be there for a few hours. Let me try to make the question even stronger. Because if the story happened on Shabbos, so then if you want to put the Aron Kodesh there forever and ever and ever, that may be a problem of what malacha. If I'm moving the Aron Kodesh and putting it in place to keep it there forever and ever and ever, maybe a shot of baina. You're trying to evolve, you're trying to solve a tumas mace problem, maybe doing malacha de araisa. So it's unlikely that this Aron Kodesh, both for pragmatic, practical reasons, and for halachic reasons, was ever planned to be there for any significant amount of time. And yet the Gemara had no qualms with it serving as a davar ha-chaytis b'fnei ha-tumah, if not for the fact that it happens to be a davar m'kabel tumah. At the end of the day, the idea didn't work for technical reasons, but lu yitzuya that it would have been a davar she'en m'kabel tumah, the idea would have worked. But it's not there forever and ever and ever. So doesn't this Gemara take a stand on the issue? Isn't this Gemara a raya for Shitas Rashi? So what's the answer to this kasha? How would Tosfos respond to this kasha? So comes Tosfos in Baba Basra and says that if you look really, really carefully in Baba Basra, in the second paragraph, the sugya comes up, you'll figure out in a minute what the answer is. Says Tosfos, there are two different ways to prevent tumor from spreading. Let's say you have a room number one, I have room number two, and there happens to be a hole between the two, and nebuch, the hole happens to be a sech tevach. So I have a problem. Again, as we said yesterday, I most probably have a problem in a Torah. So the tumor is spreading. Here's the mace. Okay, the tumor is spreading in this direction. Says Tosfos, there are two ways to solve this problem. Either you can mamash stuff up the whole hole, take something so big that closes up the entire hole, or says Tosfos, you don't even have to do that. What can you do? What option is available for you? You don't have to close up the whole hole. Just do what? Just make it less than tefach. Just close up half hole. Just make close up a quarter hole. Close up a tenth hole. Just make it that it's just shy of a tefach. And either one of these two ways will do the trick. Says Tosfos, correct. Either one will do the trick, but they work in different ways, says Tosfos. If you're trying to block the tumor by mamish removing the hole, hakol mikol kol, the hole isn't here anymore, says Tosfos, then you don't have to be mevatel anything there. That's a different halacha lagamrei. That's not affecting b'tzei tefach. You're mamish closing up the whole kamando leisa, says Tosfos, that all the requirements of bittel don't apply. If there's no hole, there's no hole. Finish. If the hole doesn't exist, hakol mikol kol, there's no hole. If I don't care whether the reason why there's no hole is for the next hour, 10 years, 1,000 years, or for the next 2 minutes. If at the end of the day there's nothing there, there's nothing there. But Medvam Amurim, that the Gemara said, that you have to be Mevatel something. The whole pilpul in the Gemara with AB and all the other cases has got to be Mevatel. So it tells us that whole discussion about requiring Bittel in order to prevent them from spreading, says Tosfos, Hakam Maskin, that whole discussion was only true because Yitavka not closing up the whole hole. Because some of the hole is going to remain intact. And since some of the hole is going to remain intact, then you're coming out to halacha of bittel, you're being mevatel something. The hole's still there. You're trying to minimize the hole. Oh, when the item is still there, you're trying to minimize the shear. What does that conjure up? What images does that conjure up? It's still there, you're just trying to make it a little bit smaller. Give me other sugyas like that. It's still there, try to make it a little bit smaller. Sukkah. There's still a big break, you're just trying to make it less than 20 amas. What's the other Gemara? Even, it's a big chritz of 10 tvachim, you're trying to make it 9.5 tvachim. When the item, when you're not changing the gamma, you're not removing that item in totality, you're just minimizing the shear, you're addressing the shear hadavar. When you're addressing the shear of the cheftza, the shear of the makam, the shear of that area, then the halach is a bit will kick in. But if you're removing the entity of the gamrei, what do I need bittul for? If it's not here, it's not here. It says, Taisa, that Gemara and Maseches Megillah, they weren't just looking to close up the Pasech Tefach of the between the two rooms. They were looking to block the entire hole. When you're blocking the entire hole, then the dinim are very different. Now again, even though you're blocking up the entire hole, all the dinim don't fall by the side. Let's say the Marshal, the din that has to be a Davash Ein Makabel Tumah, that doesn't fall by the way. So that's what the Gemara is talking about. That's why in the end the Gemara disqualified the use of the Aron Kedesh. So some of the dinim of, there is an all-encompassing din called Davar Makabel Tumah and the Chetzis of Rehat Tumah. So any time you ever want to use anything to prevent Tumah from spreading, that's cloud global number one. It has to be a Davar Ein Makabel Tumah. But if you're going down the route of minimizing a shear, or going down the route of closing up in its entirety, that's where the two halachas part ways. One is the Gemara Maseches Mabasi of Tess, that's minimizing the shear, and then the required bit le'olam in ha'tayra, is a shittis ha'tayis in Mabasi, and the bit le'olam mid the'arais, except for dinim de'rabbanon. And the din Maseches Megillah, the sugi Megillah of Chavav, is not bit le'shear, it's bit the entire item, and you don't need bit le'olam.
When you're closing up the whole boat, why don't you need
bittul?
If you don't have
bittul,
then you're still a hole. It just happens to have other
things.
Is there a
svara? There is a svara for this. I'm not sure. I don't know. Tosfos shows you that. The Matzias says that's the chiluk. I can hear the distinction. So I might say, at the end of the day, yeah, we still have our running machlekes back to Sukkot Avdal. So we've seen a lot of other Gemaras, the Gemaras of Megillah, the Gemaras of Erevin, the Gemaras of Bavasa, that are impacting on us. But at the end of the day, we're still back to square one, back to Avdal, the machlekes Rashi Bidachalal. No, that shows that you're not. That says just be min a tefach. Okay. So comes the Gemara and continues in Sukkot Avdalet, and after introducing to us the concept of bittul as potentially being sufficient, then the Gemara goes off to a little bit of a tangent and starts to talk about other ways of potentially closing up the 20 amos that are not quite bittul in the full sense of the word. The Gemara begins to talk about putting items there, the ain't us of the finosum, and you're not planning on removing them. And it's clear from the Gemara that that's one notch below bittul. Again, we don't know what notch is because we don't know what bittul meant. But whatever bittul was, ain't us of the finosum is just shy of bittul. And the Gemara quotes machlekes atanan between Rabbi Yosi and the Rabbanan, is that even good enough? Is there such a concept of ain't us lefnoso doing anything whatsoever? So what's unclear in the sugi is what exactly is this bittul? We know Rashi, we got the picture of it. We figured it out already what bittul is or is not. But we're not quite sure what this next stage of ain't us lefnoso is all about. So Rashi addresses this issue immediately on the Avdalah. After saying three times what bittul is, so then Rashi begins to tell you what ain asa lefnoso is. Again, we're not even sure that it exists, but according to those tanaim, it exists. Rashi fills in the gaps. Rashi says, second line, and now teva ain asa lefnoso, v'lo yitztarach lefnoso klei me'achag. Ain asa lefnoso means lemaisa, it's not going anywhere. And how long is it not going anywhere for? For the whole week, which is exactly what the shear was of bittul. So if it's the same 7 days, what's the difference between a formal bittul and just a mere second level, which may or may not even be good? It says Rashi umiu lo bitloi mamish befivza. You didn't declare bittul with your mouth. You didn't say bittul mamish. You basically planned on being a bafler. It's a type of an item that either objectively people tend to be mevatel, or you personally are planning on being mevatel. But the nuance of difference between bittul and the lower category is that's lacking befiv. But in terms of timing, 7 days, this is 7 days, that's 7 days, nothing else, there never was any other criteria. The only nuance of difference is piv versus not piv. That's a rational size of the sugya. So the Ritva in our sugya is very, very concerned with this Rashi. Because Rashi just gave a significant credibility to the notion of piv. That you have to say it out. You have to talk it out. So the Ritva Rishbot doesn't agree with this Rashi at all. So the Ritvon, on the first page, those who are following the Ritvon are Sugya. So the first one is the line, Hul Din Nilin Tumur Ritzutza. Towards the end of the line, the Ritvon says, Vasil, the came with the Lobot Lina of Shivasim Yachag. Playing devil's advocate, according to Rashi, that Bittul just means for a week. Mali Malakain of Fiv Allah. Allah McCain. What's the difference whether the guy said it or not? At the end of the day, Tachlis, is he going to remove it for a week? No. Whether he's not going to remove it because he gave his word, he's not going to remove it. He's not going to remove it because he doesn't plan on removing it. In the end of the day, he's not going to remove it. So according to Rashi, being there for a week is sufficient to meet the criteria of Bittul. What role does Piv have? So the Rizvot rolls a, throws a curveball Rashi from another area of Halacha. To Bahal Lekele name my Devarim Shevelev Enam Devarim. Maybe Rashi, in the back of his mind, was referring to a Gemara Maseches Kedushin Daf Mem Tes. But the Gemara throws out a principle called Devarim Shevelev Enam Devarim. Things that a person thinks generally don't take effect in Halacha. We address what you take into consideration, what you speak, not what you're thinking. So maybe that's what Rashi was concerned with. That because the Gemara says Maseches Kedushin Devarim Shevelev Enam Devarim. So maybe that's the reason why Bittul Bepeh, that's the real Bittul, that's for sure Bittul. Bittul Belay, very, very iffy, very, very shaky, very, very questionable. Half the time don't even accept it. We probably don't even possibly like it. Maybe the reason, the engine that's driving us to reject this lower level of quote-unquote Bittul is because Dvarim Shul Belay V'Enim Dvarim. So that's how the Rizvah, he's about to attack Rashi, about to disagree with Rashi, but at least he's giving you a beer, a little bit of a shtickle beer in Das Rashi. So the Ritvon now makes it about face and says, if that's what Rashi is driving at, if Rashi had in his back pocket, Rashi had on the back burner, that's Sugi Maseches Kedushin. So the Ritvon says he doesn't think that that's an appropriate Sugi to even invoke in our discussion. Why is that, says the Ritvon? She'ein oimim kein ela benidarim hekdeishos v'tenoim v'chayeti behem. Aval le'inyan shum bitol g'liyadaita v'kemir b'peh. No, what did Ritvon just say? Was Dr. Ritva against Rashi? What's wrong with the application of Ramshul Levin in the Varim? Says the Ritva, look at, I challenge you, says the Ritva, go learn Maseches Kedushin of Femtes, and see where Chazal invoked that phrase of Ramshul Levin in the Varim, and you judge whether you think that's an appropriate application to Maseches Sukkah on the Dalet. What was the original application? Who remembers the case of Ramshul Levin in the Varim? Very famous case. I don't remember. The Shliach. Well, guy's trying to sell his land, right? Guy's trying to sell his house. Why is he selling his house? Because he's planning on Aliyah. He's all ready to move to Eretz Yisrael. He wants to sell his house. The only problem is that he doesn't bother informing the lekeach, the person who's buying the house, that the only reason why he's selling the house is because he's planning on moving to Eretz Yisrael. If he would have just simply told him that, and the kinyan would have been a kinyan latanai, so then great. So there's a principle of kinyan latanai. We know there's a principle of Enel and Kedushin this year. You spent half the year on Kedushin Olat Tanai. So we know that I can make a Kedushin Olat Tanai. So the guy would have just informed us, Kedushin Olat Tanai, good, that would have been sufficient. But he didn't even open his mouth, he didn't say boo, he didn't even tell you, he didn't write it, he didn't say it. There was no understanding from the Lekech's vantage point that this Kinyan of the field is dependent upon his going to Eretz Yisrael. So he sells in the field with no word to the contrary. And then a week later, the guy decides to cancel his Nefesh B'Nefesh reservations. And he decides he's not going to Eretz Yisrael so fast, he's staying back in Bergenfield for a few more years. So he comes, knocks on the buyer's door, and he says, I'd like my house back. So the buyer says, why? He says, because I only sold it to you, I'll das that I'm going to Eretz Yisrael, and in the end, my plans were canceled, so the whole mechir is bottle. So the lekeach says, go jump in the lake. What do you mean the mechir is bottle? You never told me anything. But the guy says, but that's what I was thinking. The guy says, you didn't tell me. So the shali came to Rava. So Rava said that the mecha loses, because devarim shebelev einam devarim. That if you didn't express it valpet to the person, so that's the fact that you had, even if you did have it in your mind, we're not saying you're a liar, I trust you, I believe you, and that's irrelevant. If you didn't express it to the body, that's not considered to be devarim, that's not relevant. So the Ritva says the stubborn essence that Rashi was driving at, that just as the Gemara says in Memtes and Rav and Kedushin that devarim shalev enum devarim to be mevatel mechira, so too devarim shalev enum devarim to be mevatel dirt to the sukkah. It means devarim can't do anything. So the Ritva says, nah, that can't be. That's a Dinah Chashmish, mixing up our Chaim and Chashmish. Last year we learned Seyde Noshim. The year before that we learned Seyde Nizik. And this year the Yeshiva we're learning Seyde Mayid. It's a different Libra, there are different rules. So says the Ritva, that's a Chashmish Pitikadin. That's a Mamanistikadin. That's a Tanoim, a Kedush, Gitnikadin. It has nothing to do with being Mavatel, dirt for Yisukah. You gotta learn Urchaim. This year we're learning Mait. Stick to Mayit. So comes the Ridvan says, Dvaram Shalim, Dvaram just doesn't make any sense over here. So the emphasis is, one could reject Rashi, Yayish Lainer. One could have a strong gosh, different question against Rashi. But if that's what Rashi is driving at, Dvaram Shalim, if Rashi had in mind that Gemara in Kedushin is very, very questionable on other grounds. There is a famous Rashba on that Gemara Maseches Kedushin, where the Rashba poses many challenges to that statement. Dvaram Shalim, Yayish Lainer, really? You can't create anything in the world. The halacha doesn't recognize b'chlal what you have in your mind. Mapitom. The Gemara Shmuel Stav Chavav says that you can be mafresh tumor in your mind. You can be mafresh things in your mind. There are a lot of chalaisim that can be done b'machshava. So what do you mean dvarim shalevinim dvarim? So the Rashba says what dvarim shalevinim dvarim means is that if you said one thing and now you want to negate what you said based on what you're thinking, so dvarim shalevinim dvarim. But if you're not planning on negating anything, because you didn't say anything, you didn't say anything to the contrary, you're just sitting around and thinking, so maybe we do take into consideration what you think. Maybe yeah, maybe no. So the Torah says sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. Let's say by the and Shavuos we happen not to, because there's a cost if you require Levativis Fasayim, you have to express your thoughts with your mouth. Okay, that's a quirk. The Darman Shavuos is different. The Zeros is different. You need a deeper path. But Kachim, so to be mocked is something, or to be mafresh truma, then a machshava is binding. So machshava does have a place in halacha. Dvarim shebelev does have a place in halacha, says the Rashba. Dvarim shebelev are meaningless if and when they're contradicted by a davar shebepeh. So over here in Sukkah Dav Dalid, we're going to say, no, I'm sorry, we can't listen to what you're thinking. We don't take into consideration what you're thinking because the halacha doesn't recognize things that are not expressed verbally. Says the Rashba, there's no such klal horaya, hafresh truma hekdesh. So we have two good reasons why what's prompting Rashi is probably not Kedushin of the death, probably not Dvarim Shalevinim, that's probably not the right sugya. Either it's not the right sugya because that's a Chesh Mishpatim, this is a Rechayim, or it's not the right sugya because it's just not the right sugya, because it's not contradicting anything the person is saying. So quite frankly, we don't really know why Rashi said what he said, why Rashi put such an emphasis on Dibur, but Lamaisa Rashi did, and the Ritva doesn't believe. So now comes the Ritva and says, so once I negate it, it's very easy to negate Rashi. So what is the correct pshat in the Gemara? What is the difference, asks the Ritva, between in Asa Lefnoisai and Bittul? So the Ritva says, I'll tell you exactly what the difference is. Bittul is lo'aylam, and that's the highest form of Bittul, and that's what works l'chol adeyas. That's not a machlekes ha'tanoim, and that's not negotiable, that for sure works. You know what in Asa Lefnoisai means? In Asa Lefnoisai means, guess what? Luzman, 7 days. That's exactly what Inasa Lefnoisa means. It doesn't matter whether it was said, doesn't matter whether it was thought, that's totally irrelevant, says the Ritva. The difference between Bittul Yoylem, which is for sure good, and Inasa Lefnoisa, which is very, very shaky and questionable, is Dafka the Stakuda to the Yoylem versus Lizman. Which basically comes out to the way the Ritva is now lining up the Gemara, the Machlaikis HaRishayim is almost really a Machlaikis who? Machlaikis HaTanoim. The Ritva is conceding that some of the Tanaim disagree with my Olam, but I'm talking according to the Tanaim who do need Le'olam. Obviously, Rashi could never have said such a thing. Rashi never could have lined up the sugya like this, because Rashi says nobody ever held Le'olam. According to Rashi, this wasn't even to start with, because Bittul according to Rashi was always Lizman. So Rashi the Shittosa who held that Bittul is Lizman is sufficient, so Rashi is not sitting there and asks himself, wait, according to me who says that even Bittul is Lizman, so tackle what is the lower rung? What's the next level? What is one notch lower than Bittul? So Rashi can't say anything to do with time. There is no time left. There are only two times there that are available for us, either the Olam or the Lizman. So once you say that the highest level of Bittul is sufficient with Lizman, then what is Taka Das Lefnoisa mean? So the answer is according to Rashi, it's not the Olam versus Man, but what is it? It must be Peh versus Belev. So Rashi and the Rizbal, the Shittosa. Because Rashi is the big believer that Bittul is Lizman, Einas Lefinoso has to mean the Leif. So Rashi must create these two categories of Peh versus Leif. Whereas the Ritva, who thinks of Chananel ultimately in the Taiz and Mavas, those who shun Dura, those who shun right, they require Bittul Oilam. So if you require a Bittul Yoilam, then the next best thing would be a Bittul Lisha. So it's interesting, two different machlokes in Rashi and the Ritva, which end up becoming totally Zebizeh. Rashi puts a big, big emphasis on Peh, because he puts a very, very little emphasis on time. The Ritva puts a lot of emphasis on time, and thereby forced himself to put very, very little emphasis on Peh. So two interesting machlokes in Rashi and the Ritva. They're not totally zebezek necessarily conceptually, but lemaisa textually in the sugya, if you hold like Rashi in one, you have to like Rashi in the other. Otherwise, you don't have that discrepancy between Bittel and Enos Lifnas. So, by saying all the dust settles here, when we talk about all this din with Bittel and everything, one thing is crystal clear, that this is not a Maseches Sugya. It happens to play out of Maseches Sugya, then after Shmini Maseches Sugya, but we're already seeing issues that go way beyond Sukkah. We saw Sugyas in Bava Basra, and Sugyas in Negilah, and Sugyas in Erevin. This is Shabbos Erevin, this is Tumah V'Tahara. This is cutting across, Kolot Torah Kula, in terms of this fundamental question. If that's the case, that this is already a Shas topic, so everything that the Gemara says in this seemingly limited scope of Sukkah Tav Dalet has to be analyzed and scrutinized through the eyes of Shas. So there was something that the Gemara did say that we spent about a minute on yesterday, but now we're going to come back to, which has to also be analyzed and scrutinized in light of another Gemara. And that's how the Gemara started off this. Before the Gemara got into the intricacies of why you mavala, not mavala, liyayla, mashal, and different nuances, the Gemara spoke about the fellow who's got a 20 amas plus sukkah, and he doesn't have any dirt, doesn't have any tevin, doesn't have anything, but he's got a couple of couch pillows, a couple of blankets. And he tosses his blankets and his pillows and mattresses onto the floor, and he jumps on top of them. And he says, "Oh, now I've just raised the bar, raised the level of the sukkah, raised the floor level." So what do we say to such a mishugano? What do we say to him? But the diet to kadaska. Look, I'm a sugar. What? Your wife's going to screw me in a minute. She's going to take the pillows into the house. What kind of game is this? You put nice, beautiful pillows on your filthy floor. Not shach. That's not a dover. You want to put dirt. You want to put tevin. We can negotiate. But you want to put nice pillows. But the diet says kaladam. Even though the guy's screaming, what do we say? Do this, botel. Do the diet. Eat the das kaladam. So the Bali HaTosis dug up a Gemara, tucked away in Masechet Shabbos. Probably have the deep, dark, secrets that you have to make it all the way to Kuf in Masechet Shabbos. And then when you get there, you have another 57 more blot to go. So it's a long trip, Masechet Shabbos. So on the 12th of the Ma'amar Koimis, so comes the Gemara Masechet Shabbos with the following statement: Amar Abaye, Bor Bishus Arabim Amuka Asara or Rechava. No, wrong one. Next statement. Amar Abaye, three lines in. I'm sorry. Oh, I put Amar Abaye. He didn't realize which Amar Abaye I wanted. I wanted the second Amar Abaye. Amar Abaye, Bor Bishus Arabim Amuka Asara Rechava Arba. Malaya Maya Bezorach L'Sarich Achayev. Malaya Peiros Bezorach L'Sarich Apoter. By time of Maya Mavatli Mechitzta Peiros Mavatli Mechitzta. What's going on? What's flying in this? So we're dealing with the Isser of Hotza or Achnasa. One of the last Lamites Melachas is the Melach of carrying. So if a person carries from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, that's the Melach of the Reis of Achnasa. If a person carries from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, that's the Melach of the Reis of Hotza. Achnasa and Hotza are two parts of the same basic Melacha. How do you know what they did Hotza and Achnasa? How do you know those are Melachas? So the Gemara has a whole discussion in Masechet Shabbos. Of course they did a son of Lassa. They used to put the wood in the crush them onto the wagons. So the wagons were Rosh Hashayochid. They were a closed area. The camp Klais were in was a Rosh Hasharabim. So since part of the construction of the Mishkan required, every time they had to move, they had to take the wagons on and take the wagons off, put the planks on, put the planks off. So that was Otzah Nachnasa all the time. The Gemara says they obviously did Otzah Nachnasa in the construction of the Mishkan, and therefore, no question, that's considered to be an absolute blach. No shaila about it. What else does the Gemara say on Masechet Shabbos? We spoke about this earlier. What? The Gemara is Tekasha, in the beginning of Perka Zerik, all of a sudden, Baruch Abun, Perka Zerik, the Gemara is Tekasha, and how do you know that you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos? The Gemara shows Pesukim from Parshas Vayakhel that Moshe tells Klal Yisrael they should stop bringing gold and silver to the appeal. He makes it bigger, comes down, Yom Kippur with the Luchos, and makes it big, it's like the first Konedrit, the post Konedrit appeal, the Ne'ilah appeal. He comes, Moshe Rabbeinu comes down, and says, now we're raising money to build the Mishkan, everyone's got to give the gold, silver, and copper. So everyone's giving and giving and giving. The Pesukim saying in Vayakhel, they're giving it, they're giving so much. It was the first time and last time ever in the history of collections that what? That they had more than they needed. Never ever happened before, never will happen again. They announced that Pshat, we have enough, too much money. Everyone should stop bringing. So the Gemara learns Pshat in those Pesukim in Vayach, a very, very ambiguous Pesukim in Vayach, that it wasn't just there was enough stuff for the Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them, stop bringing, stop carrying. Like, let me have it. Why? Because I'm a locha haisa dayim, because they were carrying, it was Shabbos, and you're not allowed to carry in Shabbos. So, linked in those Pesukim in Pashas Vayach, is the fact that you're not allowed to carry in Shabbos. So, Toysus, and the Beis, the Masech Shabbos, the Estabam Kasha, why in the world does the Gemara need rayas from Pesukim that you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos? If the Gemara already in the fourth parak of Shabbos already told us that part of the construction of the Mishkan was putting things up and down from the wagons, so once we already know that b'metzias, that was part of Melachas HaMishkan, when the Torah says, L'sasaka Melacha, Melacha means Melachas HaMishkan. This makes the Parshas, Melacha means Melachas HaMishkan. So we already know. There's no Gemara that says, Menor and Emir, they're not allowed to make bays, but they near it on Shabbos. There's no Gemara that says, not allowed to, how do you know you're not allowed to dye wool on Shabbos? How do you know you're not allowed to wash clothes on Shabbos? I don't need Gemara, so I don't need Pesukim for that. Torah says, don't do Melacha. We know exactly what they did in the Mishkan. Whatever they did in the Mishkan, we're not allowed to replicate, we're not allowed to do it in Shabbos. So why are there two sugyas in Shabbos? Why in the fourth parak does the Gemara talk about that they used to put the wooden planks onto the agolas? Once we already know that, why do you need a sugya in the 11th parak? It tells me, by the way, Menon Emil, there's an Isser Hotzah. So that's where Tosha develops the famous klal called Hotzah is a what? Is a Melacha Guru. Hotzah is such a chiddush that if not for the special pasuk, I never would have figured it out on my own. Even though I know it was in the Mishkan. I know the history. I know that Bezalel already wrote me the handbook how to construct and take apart a Mishkan. I know that they used to carry in the part of the Hakamas HaMishkan, but I never would have thought that that's included in a Melacha, because it's such a shvacha Melacha, such a little cheapy kind of a Melacha, it's like a Melacha Guru. So I need a Chiddush HaTorah that even that's called a Melacha, notwithstanding the fact that it's a Melacha Guru. What's a Guru about Hotzah? So somebody shared him state, nothing changed. The same item, nothing changed. So we went with Sechah Shabbos, we spent a lot of time on that about. Is there any significance of being Melacha Gerua? But at the end of the day, the din is that Hotzah is also. It's also Minatari, Chayef Skil, Chayef Karet, Chayef Korban. It's a real bona fide Melacha when all the dust settles. So what constitutes Hotzah? So Hotzah means when you carry from Rosh Hashayach to Rosh Hashanah, Machnos is the other way around. Then the Gemara says it's Halacha Mosh Sine called Havar Zalam, Iran. That's a whole other story. But it's clearly a din of Hotzah and Achnos. So it's critical in order for us to identify this Melacha, in order for us to apply this Melacha, I have to make sure that the area that I have is a real Rosh Hashanah and a real Rosh Hashanah. And if either one of those two are not present, then there's not going to be any Melacha Dir Haisem. So Abayi tells me, I have a Rosh Hashanah, it's a very, very big public area. It means all the criteria Rosh Hashanah, whatever those are. Some Rosh Hashanah say as long as it has 16 amos, that's good enough, and some say you need 600,000. Whatever you think the definition of Rosh Hashanah is, you have it. And you happen to have a bore in Rosh Hashanah. You have a hole in the middle of Rosh Hashanah. So the hole in the middle of Rosh Hashanah is a what? Why is it Rosh Hashanah? Because, what? Because it's 10 tefachim deep, so it has walls of 10 tefachim. That's halacha Moshe Mitzvah. Any area that's surrounded by walls of 10 tefachim. So the surface of the inside of the bore is surrounded by 10 tefachim walls, the walls of the bore. And there's another condition necessary to be Rosh Hashanah. It has to be Dalad. So the bore is dal by dal tefachim. So I have here. I have a street. Okay, and in the street is not much a major highway. Okay, there are hundreds of thousands of people walking through. So it's just around the Choladeis. And I have down here something which is 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide. So if a guy takes something and tosses it into the bore, it's chayav skila. Because he carried from Rosh Hashanah into Rosh Hashanah. So Abaye comes with a chiddush and he says, sometimes you could do something to this boar to be mevatel its status as Rosh Hashanah. What could you do? You could start to what? Start to fill it up. If you start to fill it up and now it's no longer 10 tefachim deep, so then you don't have walls of the boar anymore. So what could possibly be done to change the format of the boar? So Abaye starts up by saying, Malaya Mayim, if you throw water into the bore, that doesn't do the trick. That doesn't change it. Water. The liquids. That doesn't do the trick. Malaya Paris, but if you throw fruit in there, you start piling a bunch of apples and bananas down there, and now you pile it up with enough fruit that lo and behold, you got a lot of apples and pears and bananas and oranges here. And now, from the top of the fruit level, till the level of the bor is only 8 tvachim, so you were just bevachta the mechitzas of the bor. Gevaldik. So that's what Abaye says. The Rukhinami, Malaya Perzach Lasecha Potter. So now the mechitzas 10 tvachim is botel. So you no longer have Rosh Hashanah Yochid. So Mamela, when you carry from the Rosh Hashanah into this bor, maybe it's carried to Carmelis. I didn't say it's mutter, but Minatayr, it's not Chayim, because this is no longer Rosh Hashanah Yochid. My time, what's the difference? Mayimum Vatli Mechitzta, Peiris Vatli Mechitzta. Because the Peiris have the ability to involve all the Mechitzta. That's what Abaye says. So anyone who reads that Gemara Masechet Shabbos, and also learned Masechet Sukkah Daf Dalet, realizes right away that this is a big, big problem. Because our Gemara and Sukkah Daf Dalet began with the premise that if you put something ridiculous into an area that no sane human being on the planet would ever really put there, that doesn't affect the outcome, that doesn't change the ground levels. And therefore the guy who put his nice clean pillows on the floor of a sukkah, that's lamal lamay, that doesn't affect the status of the sukkah. If it doesn't affect the status of the sukkah, when was the last time a normal, sane person took a bunch of apples and threw it into a dirty, filthy pit? Very unlikely. His wife's going to come screaming at him and say, get those apples out of there. He's going to say, I can't do it because I'm going to have to carry on Shabbos. So we're going to have a problem. So no normal person is going to put apples in the floor of his pit. And what does the Gemara say? That doesn't matter. It's still botel. That's okay. It's still botel. So how can that be? Make up your mind. Does the status of the dinim of bitl require something that's realistic? Or can bitl be accomplished? Even so, which is completely unrealistic. So this is not my kasha. This is already Taisa's kasha. Taisa Masechet Shabbos is barred with this kasha. This is Taisa's on the 13th of the Ramah Kremis. How could it be? The whole thing doesn't make any sense. The Oymeri, the Minatorim, and my cold over. I feel a nittle. And with the Rabbanan, who the gods with the dover nittle in my mind. You know what Tosh just did? Tosh just said, nah, all the klolim of dover shayna nittle, the Shabbos, and there are certain criteria of bittel. Come on, says Tosh. Minatorah, how do you measure it? If it's there, you take a look. Is the item there? If it's there, it's there. What do I care when it's going to be removed in 10 seconds from now? What's the difference? The whole institution of Bittul Hadover to change the ground level, what it does to say, is only what? It's only Yechum Midirabonim. Min HaTorah, if you ask Meshabeno, how am I mevatel a hole in the ground? You put something there. Water maybe doesn't count. But fruit, a solid item, that's it. Either solid item is going to be picked up in an hour from now. So what, says Tosfos? Says, big deal. Minatayr, that's good enough. For the purposes of Abaye's statement in Shabbos Daf Kuf, we don't have to make this good midrabanan. What's the goal of Abaye? What was the magic word Abaye wanted to get in here? What word did Abaye want to say about the person who threw something into the pit with the apples in it? He just wanted to say potter. He just wanted to be mafkibo. He wants to be mevatel the shem shesiyach midraisa. He's not telling you that it is or is not midrabanan. He's not. Abaye's telling the levels deraisas. So in the love of the Araisa, all these klolim don't apply. None of this matters in the Torah. And that's Munach and Abaye's statement. According to Tosfos, we just turned the entire world upside down. You know why? Because if in Shabbos Daf Kuf, all the dinim of Bittul don't really exist on the love of the Araisa, then guess what other Masechta that don't exist on the love of the Araisa? Sukkah Daf Dalet. And in the Torah, if you want to be Mashi, your Sukkah 20 Amos, you can throw whatever you want down there. And you don't have to revival it. Just put it there for 5 minutes. I don't even need bittul l'shah. I just need bittul for 5 minutes. I don't even need bittul for shivas yomim. I need bittul for a minute. I want to go down. I want to go out to my sukkah and eat my meal. And gaval, it's 21 amos tall. What am I going to do? No big deal. Just take something, throw it onto the ground for 5 minutes, eat your meal, and then pick it up and take it back. And tell the next guest to throw something else down when he goes and eats. All the din of bittul died. And Tais took everything we talked about for the last 2 days. It's all chumers midirabonim, says Tais. Proof positive the Gemara and Shabbos Daf Kuf. No, none of this, nothing matters. As long as Tachlis Bashe Husham, I don't care what's going to happen in 2 minutes from now. Right now, I'm going to get my Sachet. Oh, I'm only 19 AF Amos because I'm sitting on a bunch of apples. Taisa says that's fine. No problems. But that 30 Esma Shervena can sit in apples in your 20 Amos Sukkot. No problem.
Then if he takes out the fruit and then it's not Batal and then he's doing Otsa, no? So he's as if he takes out the fruit,
he's not. No one's taking out anything really. The whole thing is just a game.
So
if he takes out the fruit, so he created a Rosh Hashanah Yochid at the same time that he's carrying. He's got a little almost like a Shabbos. Figure out what that did. What's the din? Okay. Maybe I don't know. Yeah, but the important part for our sugya is that Tosfos took everything, and I don't even have a big enough market to do this. But everything we've all learned for the last 2 days, what do we have to make on it? One big fat X, because it's all chumras and derabanan. That Torah, none of this matters. So Tosfos doesn't think it's right. You know, Tosfos thinks it's interesting, but they don't really think it's true. They don't really believe it's true, says Tosfos. You know why they don't believe it's true? Because Tepet Chalon, Maisya Baishim Luteven, Davil Inin Oil Deraisa. There are too many Gemaras that are talking deraisa dika terminology. Because remember, how many sugyas do we have about Bittul? So we have this Gemara now that we just introduced, Shabbos Tavkuf, Gabi Yotzah. We have the Beis Chatzeris and Erevin. No one's going to lose too much sleep over the Beis Chatzeris. Why? Because that's the whole bit of the Rabban anyway. Sukkah. Not going to lose too much sleep because Sukkah is over anyway. But the Gemara is talking about Tumah V'Tara. Tumas Oyel. Everything is Rabban. Everything is Chumas Rabban. Minat Torah, anything. Too many holes in this dress. Doesn't sound that way. That aladinim of bittel or all chumras the rabbanim. Why did the rabbanim make up these things? What's wrong with the way it was in the good old days? The free dikah dairis, everyone was happy. Moshe Rabbeinu came down from our scene and told us, "You eat in a sukkah that's 20 hours tall. Throw a few apples down." What did the rabbanim have to make? They had to sit down. The whole Sanhedrin and go, we had to sit around and make a takanas chacham not to rely on apples in the sukkah. But what was the great, tremendous motive for that gezerah derabanan? The whole thing is so shver. So Tosfos threw out this as a possible parrot, and in the end, they did that for that, and the whole thing doesn't make any sense. So that's a good thing for us. You know, it's a good thing for us, because we were just crossed out the X, because we're back to business. That we believe that Munah Shleim, and that everything we've been learning for the last 2 days, are real klolim in deraisa, and afkaminas for Hilchus Sukkah, and afkaminas for Hilchus Tum Vitara, and afkaminas for Hilchus Sevishas Yachid. But the only Gemara that's still sitting, sticking out like a sore thumb, is the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf. So what do you do with that Gemara in Shabbos? So Tosfos doesn't give me an answer. They say we'd like to give an answer. It's only their abundant and their eyes, but we don't think it's right. So, what is the answer? So, the Rashba in the 14th of the Mamikamis in Shabbos Daf Kuf is bothered with the same cash as this. The Rashba starts off, and he says the whole thing is so difficult. Afagav, the second line, the Ein Adam Asu Levatal Peiros Babor. But the diet it's a kolodom, and now the Rashba quotes that well. The Gabbai Sukkah Amru Balamata Bekorba says Lo Havi Miut. The Gabbai Shabbos Havi Miut. Zok the Rashba in the stomach of the Gemara Shabbos is the exception to the rule. Whereas Tosfos in Erevin, I'm sorry, Tosfos in Shabbos of Kuf took the Gemara in Shabbos and said that Gemara is so powerful, so all encompassing that we'd rather turn all of Shas on its head. We'll toss the Gemara in Sukkah and say it's a Chumra Derabanan. We'll toss the Gemara in Megillah. We'll toss the Gemara in Baal. All the Gemara is going to go by the wayside because of Nebuch, that one little Gemara in Masechah Shabbos. So the Rash is beginning conceptually going down a different approach. You have four Gemaras that sound deraisa and one Gemara that doesn't make any sense. So Tosfos said throughout all four Gemaras in order to fit into the one Gemara that was difficult. What does the Rashba say? What makes much more sense? Textually. Instead of doing surgery on four different patients, do surgery on one patient. Go back to the Gemara and Shabbos and figure out what's going on there. So Zok the Rashba says, Al Korachach, the Gemara and Shabbos is the quirk. That's the Yitzim in a Klal. The Dini Bittel are binding in a Torah. Tumba, Vitara, Shabbos, Erevin, Sukkah, everything. Those are the Dini in their Isa. The Gemara and Shabbos of Kuf is the one that's the Yitzim in a Klal. And why is it the Yitzim in a Klal? So the Rashba quotes the Tosfos that we don't have. This is not the same Tosfos that we read. But Tosfos Pirshu Beperu Shel Tevel She'Eino Yochel Asalkem Misham Kolos Hashem Besubtein Him the Yom and Sham. What did the Rashba just say? By saying, you hear the Teretz of the Rashba. What did the Rashba just say? I know Kim the Teretz Hocha B'Mayaskinan. The fruit that you're tossing down there, or what? The Tevel. They happen to be fruit in Eretz Yisrael. You didn't separate Tumas and Maisis from, in case you didn't know. And the Tevel is Muktzah on Shabbos, because you're not allowed to be Mavish Shumas Maisis. You can't eat it, so it's not royal anything. It's like Eitzim V'Avonim. So the fruit down there is Tevel, and that's what's going on in Masechah Shabbos and Daf Kuf. That's the answer to the dilemma. All the other Gemaras stick to our guns. You need a bittul yoyla, whatever you think bittul means. And the Gemara in Shabbos is different because it's tabel. So besides the textual issues that the Gemara doesn't say a word about being tabel, that's obviously a big significant problem. Does the Okimta even solve the problem for everybody? Who does it solve the problem for? It only solves the problem if you subscribe to what levels of bittul. If you think it's bittul l'shah,
or the
ritva, the ra. But if you really believe, like Taisim of Basra, that bittul l'olam is an absolute chayfil yav amid the araisa, and the only reason why we let you get away with a half baked bittul in erev is because it's only a din derabanan anyway. But whenever they're dinim derais, you need a real makoy, the absolute bittul l'olam, l'olam. If that's true, how's tevel going to solve any problem? How is Tevel going to impact on the status of Rosh Hashanah? We're talking the guy's either going to the base of Skila or not. We're going to give a guy Skila based on whether we think these apples are bottle or not. And you're going to tell me, well, since they're bottle, Hilchas Tevel, so therefore they're bottle. According to Tosis, that's not bittul. According to Tosis, you still have a real bona fide Rosh Hashanah here. The apples are dvarm, no pun intended, they're dvarm betalim, because they're not bottle. The apples don't change anything. I did not have to move for 24 hours. Asma. This is their Isa world. It's not a Derabon make believe world. So this teretz that the Rosh was quoting from Tosfos, even half the Tosfos wouldn't say such a thing. So this is a very, very difficult teretz. Extremely difficult teretz. It's difficult textually. It's questionable conceptually. So we probably don't want to go down this route. Okay, so we didn't like the teretz that Tosfos themselves said, because Tosfos themselves didn't like it, not we. Probably Tosfos rejected that teretz of their Isa's Derabon because it just didn't seem to fit into Shas. Now the Rosh is quoting another Balei Tosfos that we're not even sure is going to fit into other Balei Tosfos. So we're back to square. It's very nice to reject all the Rishonim. We're just throwing Rishonim out the window. What's the answer? What happened to this Gemara? What's the Gemara in Shabbos talking about? So Al Korchach, you have to go down some other kind of a route by saying that not all Dinim Abitl are created equal. Even though we've seen up until now that just about all Dinim Abitl were created equal. 99% of bittul were created equal, but there's something different going on, and there's something unique going on in Shabbos Tafkuf that we can't quite put our fingers on, so we have to wait until Sunday, try to figure out what is that dimension, what's going on in the sugya in Shabbos Tafkuf that makes this sugya, how do you say, which of these is not like the other? So this sugya in Shabbos is not like the other. There's something special about Shabbos Tafkuf that's breaking the regular rules and regulations of bittul. We have to try to figure out what in the world that is. Then I'll get Shimon Sunday also. We have to put the final touches on the sugya. Some other nakudas that some of the Rishonim raise about our sugya before we get to go on to the next. Okay. We usually do chumash at this slot, but we're a little bit late, so remind me next week. Okay.
Can we really reject this half time?